So you might have noticed that we did not have a children's message today, and I know that many of you are disappointed because of that, because it is the highlight of the message for you. So, you know, that's okay. You don't hurt my feelings. It's fine. However, because of that, I would like to say a little bit to the children this morning. So consider the first part of the message as the kids' message. So kids, this is for you. Well, actually, some of you dads may enjoy this as well, because I'm going to tell a couple of Easter jokes, kind of like dad jokes. So here we go. Here's the first one. A chocolate bunny went to his therapist. And the therapist asked, "How's it going?" And the chocolate bunny said, "I don't know, Doc. I just feel kind of hollow inside." That's my man right there. Yeah. They don't get any better. I'm sorry. They won't get any better. That's about as good as it gets right there. So the next one, not a joke so much, but more of an observation, kind of a head scratcher, especially for parents. So for 364 days each year, what do? We tell children not to eat anything off the ground, right? And what do on Easter Sunday? Go ahead and go out there and get all the candy you want from the dirt, right? Kind of a head scratcher. Yeah, just saying. All right, one more, because three is really more than enough. So, you know the Easter Bunny's favorite music, don't you? Go ahead. Hip hop, very good. Good job. Give yourself a round of applause. Very good. Now, these are all Easter jokes. What you may not know is that this is truly an ancient tradition. And I'm not kidding, truly. No joke at all. It is an ancient tradition in Germany. And if you were there on many Easter Sundays, the Lutheran pastor would begin with an Easter joke. It even has a name. It's called the Paschal joke. Pastor means Easter or Passover. And so it is truly God's joke on the world, especially on the devil. Because the devil believed that on Friday, when Jesus said, "It is finished," that he was dead, and that was the end of him. But what he really was saying is that it is finished. My work has been accomplished. And sin and death and hell, they are now vanquished. And so whenever you have a joke of any kind, the most important thing is the punchline. And that is it. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But here's the problem. If you were paying attention during the reading of the Gospel of Mark, did anybody notice that something was missing? If you read Matthew, Luke, and John, Jesus is there in all the other Gospels. And he appears to Mary and Peter and John and the other disciples. But here in Mark, Jesus does not appear. So I can imagine if you are Mary and her companions, they are going to the tomb out of respect, out of love for Jesus. They're paying their last respects. They are going to anoint his body because there wasn't time on Friday. The sun was going down and you could not touch a dead body after the sun went down. The next day was going to be the Sabbath. That was forbidden. And so they want to come early in the morning before the sun even rises. And then when they get there, what do they see? Nothing. There is nothing there. It is only an empty space. And so Robert Frost, he's written a poem, and I think he captures the emotion of those women that morning. He writes, "They cannot scare me with their empty spaces. Between stars, on stars where no human race is, I have it in me so much nearer home to scare myself with my own desert places." I think Mary knew exactly what he was talking about. I think you know exactly what he is talking about. Because each of us, sometime in our life, must cope with an empty space. And where is it usually? Not out there, but right here. This is often where the desert place lies. And so when you get that letter in the mail that you're being foreclosed on, that is an empty space. When you get your IRA statement and it's tanked and gone the other way, that's an empty space. When your mortgage is upside down, that's an empty space. High school kids, when you are dreaming of your college where you will matriculate and you get the email and you are rejected, that's an empty space. When your spouse tells you, "I no longer love you," an empty space. Your boyfriend says it's over. Your partner says there's no hope in this relationship. That is an empty space. So when Mary and her companions enter their desert place, they retreat and they're afraid. Now, it's true, if you were noticing, there is this mysterious young man. He's an angel. Jesus isn't there, but an angel is. And this is what he says. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." Anybody, is that good news? Anybody, is that good news? That is great news. And yet they don't take it that way, do they? And that's how we are. We get good news. We should have the Easter punchline. But life grinds us down. And we don't hear the good news. It's kind of like my Easter jokes. They fall a little flat, right? Because that's how life is. There's more emptiness than fullness, more decline than increase, more fear than joy, more failure than success, more separation than reunion. That's what Mary felt. And I know you've been there as well. But then suddenly, when we least expect it, there is this surprise. We get the punchline. The angel says, "Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you'll see him just as he told you." So Mary is leaving the tomb. And we don't see this in Mark, but we see it in the other ones. We see it in John especially. She is leaving the tomb, and then she turns around. And she thinks it's the gardener. And she asks, "Where'd you put him? Where'd you put him? I want to find him." And then those words, he simply turns to her and he says, "Mary." And she says, "Rabbi, it's you, Rabbi." And she wants to hold on to him. You see, the resurrection is not a one-time event. Oh, sure, Jesus rose only once, but its impact. He appears to Mary. And then Peter and John come running to the tomb. And then the two men on the road to Emmaus who thinks he's a stranger. And then to the 11 in the upper room, he just walks right through the wall. And then to Thomas, who was missing. And then Paul writes to the 500. And Paul says, finally, even to me, the least of the apostles, and even to you. Over and over and over again, Jesus appears in our life when we least expect it. And he changes everything. And so there are those in this room who thought there was no hope after a tragedy in their lives, and Jesus has brought hope to them. Others thought, there's no purpose for me to go on living, and Jesus has brought a purpose to their lives. There are relationships that you thought were over. There is no way, and yet Jesus has brought you back together. And there are those who thought they could never be forgiven, and yet you are. The good news this morning is that we don't have to earn the resurrection. We certainly don't deserve it. Paul was the greatest persecutor of the Christian church. He was Jesus' greatest tormentor. And yet, Jesus appears to him. Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times. I don't know him, never seen him. And Jesus restores him to be a pillar in the church. Mary, who had the 7 demons, Jesus picks her as the very first person to whom he would ever appear. When we least expect it, there is our Lord, and he changes everything. And though we haven't earned it, we don't deserve it, let me encourage you, believe in the resurrection and follow Jesus, because he goes ahead of you into your future. So, some of you may be wondering, so what does Jesus look like when he appears? Well, he appeared in the flesh 2,000 years ago. But then, 40 days after Easter, he ascended bodily into heaven. I can assure you, he is here today. Jesus Christ is in this room. His spirit is in this room. And I can assure you as well that in just a few moments, he will be right here as well. He will be right here as well. His body, the one that was broken on the cross, and his blood shed there on Calvary, is right here, in with and under the bread and the wine. And in receiving it, you will be forgiven. There will be new life. There is the promise of salvation. But if you really want to see what Jesus looks like, well, then let me tell you about Philip. Philip was different. He looked different. He sounded different. He acted different. He was pleasant enough, but all the other kids, all the other 8-year-olds in his class knew that something was wrong. And it was just the week before Easter when in his Sunday school class at church, the teacher said, "I've got a project for all of you." And he gave each of those 8-year-olds an egg. You've probably seen one something like this. And he said, "I want you to go outside." It was a beautiful spring day. And he said, "I want you to find a sign of new life. And then we'll bring it back and we'll take a look at all that you have found." And they were very excited. They got to go outside during Sunday school. And they were looking for all these things, and they bring it in, and the first little girl, she finds, and she opens the egg. It's a pretty little flower. And all the kids, they go, "Ooh, ah, it's beautiful." And then the second one, found a butterfly. It's beautiful. Some green grass and some other things. Oh, yeah, one kid had a rock, and they all laughed. And they got to the end, and the last egg was opened. And it was empty. Nothing at all. And of course, one of the smart kids said, "You did it wrong." But it was Philip. And he tugged on his teacher's shirt. And he said, I did it right. It's empty because the tomb is empty." And on that day, Philip was accepted by the rest of the class. Well, Philip was kind of frail. He got an infection that summer. Surely the other kids, if they had that infection, would have been able to fight it off. But Philip couldn't. And he died. And at his funeral, there were 9 8-year-olds and his teacher. And they didn't bring flowers, but they all brought an egg. An empty egg. As a sign of the hope that they had. Of the new life that God would one day bring to Philip and to all of them. My friends, if you want to see what the face of Jesus looks like, then just look around you. And you will see him in the faces of a community like Emmanuel, where we welcome those who are different. Those who are rejected, those who are discarded, and those who have empty spaces in their heart. And if you are one of those who feels like you are rejected, if you are dejected, if you have this giant hole in your soul, this is the place to find it. As we leave the tomb and the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I will be perfectly candid with all of you. If you are looking for something else, a new house, a new spouse, a new car, a bigger salary, a new hobby, to fill this space here, you will never find it. For there's only one person who can fill a God-shaped hole, and that is God himself. And that's exactly what Jesus did 2,000 years ago when those women first went to that empty space, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. And you see, that's the punchline. He's not dead. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take a moment now, if you would, on the back of your sermon notes. There's a picture that looks like this.